How deep?
How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure. That He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns His face away at His wounds which mar the chosen one. Bring many sons to glory.
My name is Alex. I'm one of the pastors here at Scent. It's a joy to be a pastor here and to serve you guys. We want to take a minute to transition to a time of prayer. So if you guys, however it is best for you, if you'd like to sit quietly, if you'd like to use your chair as an altar and get on your knees, if you'd like to stand with your arms raised, whatever it means for you, please, let's take a minute to pray. Our God, You alone have given us a reason for hope. You alone have given us a chance at joy. There is no place on this earth that we can go. There is no mountain, there is no cave, there is no place we can run where Your grace can't find us. Lord, we have rebelled against you. You have offered much, and we have rejected more. Lord, our hearts turn us to wickedness, to selfishness. We want to exalt ourselves among the people. We think that our stories and our struggles and our pains deserve us incredible praise. But Lord, it is the sin in our heart that you came to cleanse. Not just to wash away impurity from this place, but Lord, you came with great love. Your heart has broken for our wickedness, that we have no way out. We have no way out. Lord, that you would, the God that spoke the stars into existence, the God that can sing a melody through the wind, that can bring nature to its most uppermost glory, Lord, that you can create mountains that are breathtaking, that you can create life that is astonishing. The God that orchestrated molecules and mountains is ours. We are so undeserving. And yet you have poured grace on us. Lord, I pray that you would help us today see with true majesty the King. That you would help our eyes and our hearts see the beauty of King Jesus. That our God did what should not have been done, but had to be done for the incredible glory of your name and the good of these people. We do not deserve all that you've poured out on us, Lord. So let each moment, each breath be turned to joy, be turned to worship, be turned to praise for the King of Kings, Lord, that we would say we love you because you first loved us. Father, I know that in this room right now there is pain, there is hurt, there is sin, there is wickedness. And sometimes it can feel like it's just so much to bear. Lord, it can feel like there's no reason to go on. That even if we get past one thing, it's just another waiting behind it. And Lord, that the joy that we get to have is not that we can just happen to survive through day in and day out, but that we have an eternity that thrives, an eternity of joy, an eternity of peace, an eternity of absolute amazement and awe at our King. That he would love and heal and redeem and wipe away every tear. That as sure as the ground beneath my feet, even more sure is the foundation of our God's grace that he is building his church on. So Lord, please help us worship now. Help us worship with great joy the King that saved a wretch. Lord, you didn't hold your hand back from anybody. You love without any condition other than your grace being poured out. It is not something we earn, but something we accept and receive. So, Lord, I pray that you would encourage our hearts to worship out of that joy today, that we would reflect on our heart and where we are lacking joy, where we are lacking in gratitude and gratefulness, and where things that should be sweet taste bitter, Lord, that we would be reminded that you are on the throne and that your goodness is sure. And while you, yes, take us through hard times, you are doing abundantly more than we can ever see. So, Lord, we pray that we would stand firm in that, that your power would fill this church, and that you would encourage us and remind us of your walls of sovereignty that protect us, that no enemy that can attack, that no enemy that can get to us can get to us through your walls of sovereignty and power. And where we are hit, where the enemy strikes, it is by your grace and your glory that you would take what was bitter and turn it sweet, that you would take what was meant for evil and you would use it for good. That even our enemies are a slave to your grace, Lord. We look to you with joy. Let us worship now and remember the God of joy. Amen.
Father of kindness.
So I will
Amen. Y'all can take a seat.
Good morning, church. Let's try that again. Good morning, church. Good morning. Good morning. Matthew chapter 15. If you have your copy of God's word, if you don't, the words will be on the screen. All right, this is the first time I have slides. Thank you, thank you. I'm Stephen. For those of you who do not know me, I'm one of the pastors here. We're taking the summer to go through what we as a church, what we value, what makes us distinctively Christian. What are the things that we have focused on, that we have declared with our lives? This is what we want to be about. We're focused on some very particular things. We've already looked at our core values of gospel centrality, how we want the gospel of Jesus to be the basis of what we do, how we live, how we act. We've talked through Pastor Josh last week, preached on sacrificial service, and today we are going to look at one thing that sets us apart from the world. What is distinct about Christianity is that we are joyful worshipers. And we are seeking to, with each one of these core values, to keep growing up in them. We want to keep maturing. Like what we've said before, we are centered on the gospel. And we want to grow up in that. We are sacrificial servants. But we want to grow up in that. We don't want to be babies, adolescents in that. We want to become teenagers and mature saints where our lives reflect what God has done on our behalf. So today, we are focusing on the core value of joyful worship. Let me pray for us. Father, in this time, by your Spirit, through your word, accomplish what we cannot do. God, by your Spirit, speak. Speak to the places of our hearts that need to hear from you. Speak directly to your sons and daughters. God, for your glory, adopt new sons and daughters through revealing your Son to them today. God, we sit in awe of you. We want to hear from you. We want to mature. We want to grow. And you've promised that you will meet us here. You will meet us at your word. So for Scent Church, mold us. Bring about your vision for this church. Bring about your vision for our families. Bring about your vision for our lives, our individual lives. Mold us, shape us, correct us. We submit this time to you. In Christ's name, amen. So, I don't know if any of you have ever known someone like this. Someone who, when you look at their life, you watch them, you've seen them, you've been around them, maybe you know them closely, maybe you don't, but someone where you look at their life and you see an abounding, joyful, continual worship of God, where when you get into their presence, you just know this person's holy. This person's been walking with God for a long time. You see it on their countenance. You see it in their actions. You can see their heart. My grandfather, we called him Pawpaw, he passed away. He's with the Lord right now worshiping God. But he was saved later in life, and it was the godliest man I know. And his demeanor, his spirit, his aura was one of a man that worshiped God with his life. It was constantly flowing out of his mouth. He would, he worked on it, and I just sat with him. As a child, I remember while we were working on lawnmowers, and he was a Mr. Fix-It kind of guy. He liked to take things apart and then put it back together, and magically it all worked. But as he was doing it, I remember constantly, over and over, Pawpaw would say, something would get fixed, and he'd say, "Praise the Lord. Thank you, God." Acknowledging where this actually has come from. He would constantly, we would be watching something, he would hear some good news, and he would say, "Hallelujah." He was continually, praise was on his lips, continually pointing me, his grandson, to Christ, full of joy, not moping around, full of joy, joy in suffering. I watched this man suffer and suffer well. He lived the resurrected life. His joy was firm in Christ. He was a poor man, didn't have much money. He's a hard worker, but his identity was wrapped up in the person of Christ. He, as Pastor Josh mentioned last Sunday, he was an all-in life kind of worshiper. And when I saw him and lived life with him, like I know many of you, if you have that, these people, this person that you're envisioning, I would look at it and say, I want that. You know a Christian? Do you know a Christian that has abundant joy where you look at their life and you say, ah, I want that. I want that. Whether it's reading the Apostle Paul's letters and seeing him fight for joy, worshiping God, where we look at it and say, I want that. I want my life to look like this. I want to be a true worshiper. The good news for us today is that God looks at us right now and he says, I want that for you. God is calling true worshipers to himself. He has the power to develop us into a all life, whole life kind of worshiper. God wants for our church to be whole life, joyful worshipers, because he wants our worship. Not just our singing to him on Sundays. He wants our praise. He wants to be the treasure that he is. We see this because we were created to know and enjoy God. We see this with Adam and Eve. They go on strolls in the garden with the Father. We were created to live in the presence of God, to eat with God, to sing with God, to play with God, and to work with God. This was our intention before the fall, to live surrounded by his glory, living inside of his beauty. This was our beginning. And it not only is our beginning, this is our future. Eternity is heaven as a true praise and worship party. Eternally worshiping God in his presence. We were worshipers. We have been. We will be worshipers in the future. This is in our DNA. This is in our hardwiring. We ascribe praise. We exalt something bigger than ourselves. And I'm not just talking about Christians. All people were created by God to worship God. Now, we've misplaced, misdirected our worship. Some of our friends and family and neighbors who do not yet know Christ, they're worshipers. It's a misdirection of worship. They're not giving the Lord what he is due. And so what makes us distinctive as Christ followers is we treasure Christ. We worship him. This is the reason by which we exist. We exist to glorify God by enjoying Him forever. So the question for us today is, what does God want our joyful worship to look like? We're going to look at four quick things. One is, what is worship? Two, what is the wrong way? Three, what is the right way? And then four, we'll look at some examples. So first, what is worship? The Bible contains almost 200 verses that include a form of the word that was translated into worship, the English word worship. Multiple different words in the Hebrew and the Greek, all pointing to one big major concept. Worship is this. It's a number of things. Track with me. Worship is seeking Him. Worship is to fear Him, have a holy reverence and respect for Him. Worship is to serve Him with our actions. Actions are worship. Worship is to hold Him up, to adore Him, to idolize Him, to esteem Him worthy, and to treasure Him above all. One of the words that is used, proskuneo, which means to bow down. Worship is it's translated to worship. Bow down. Your face is on the ground. This is why when we pray often, I remember waking up too early sometimes in the morning and my dad was already in prayer in his prayer closet, a small room that he had set aside. And I'd walk by the room. Sometimes the door would be open and I would see him laying out, bowing down, worshiping God in prayer. This is the posture of worship. One Hebrew word that's often used is described this way. It is the act of giving up your own glory to make sure everyone knows that the thing being worshipped is more glorious than you. To put it more succinctly, worship is bowing down to lift up. I see this often. Every time I see this, when a game is won and everybody, the media rushes the quarterback to get an interview. Good quarterbacks, they may have won the game and they may be amazing, but good quarterbacks, whenever they are praised, they divert their praise to who? The linemen. They should. But it is a diversion to say, yes, I may have done well here, but I only did well here because I have these massive studs in front of me. It is a diversion of saying, I'm going to back off so that I can lift this up. It's a positioning. Our English word worship comes from two words, worth-ship. It is ascribing worth to Him. This is when we stand and sing, or when we pray to Him, when we stop what we're doing and we see God in His glory, we see Him in His infinite worth, we stand in awe of this God, the creator and sustainer, the life giver, the one in whom our hope is set and secure. This is worship. I have two godlier men than I that describe this and define this better. One is William Temple. He's the 20th century Anglican theologian and Archbishop of Canterbury. He spent years studying worship, and he says this: worship is the submission of all our nature to God. It is the quickening of conscience by His holiness, the nourishment of mind with His truth, the purifying of imagination by His beauty, the opening of the heart to His love, the surrender of the will to His purpose, and all of this gathered up in adoration, the most selfless emotion of which our nature is capable, and therefore the chief remedy for that self-centered, which is our original sin and the source of all actual sin. John Piper puts it this way: worship is an active response to the character, the words, and the actions of God, initiated by His revelation that enables and enabled by His redemption, whereby the mind is transformed, the heart is renewed, the actions are surrendered, all in accordance with His will and in order to declare His infinite worthiness. This is worship. Worship is a yield to the true God. So, first, what is worship? Second, what is the wrong way to worship? Matthew 15, verses 8 and 9. Jesus is quoting Isaiah. He's blasting the hypocrites here. He's blasting the Pharisees, and here's what he says. This is the wrong way to worship. Jesus says, "This people, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." Jesus is calling them out. He says, they think that there's people out here living. It's very easy to think like you're worshiping God. They think they're worshiping God, but in actuality, this is fake worship. It might look like worship. It might sound like worship, but God doesn't want it. He wants none of it. Jesus connects two things here. He says, the lips are saying this, but the heart is not saying it. Church, listen, God wants our lips, praise from our lips, and praise from our heart. God wants our heart to be overwhelmed and satisfied by Him. Worship here is both an attitude and an action. Religion says, like what these men were practicing, religion says, I will worship God out of duty. I'll come to church because I'm supposed to. I'm going to read my Bible because if I do this enough, God has to bless me. This is religion. Jesus says, that's not worship. I love John Piper says, that is called zero worship. It is zero worship. It's like, so, you know, when your kids, some of you have kids or you've been around kids that are fighting, bickering back and forth, you grab one of them and you say, hey man, you were wrong. I want to help you. We're going to start by doing this. Say to your sister, I'm sorry. And what do you get? You know, you get this half-hearted coming out of the words. They might say I'm sorry, but the heart is not sorry. And you know, this doesn't work. This isn't working, okay? Jesus says the fake zero worship, the words without the heart, if our worship isn't coming from the heart of glorifying God, it is zero worship. And so, church, we must be very careful. It is easy to come in here. It's easy to sing songs. It's easy to serve someone, cut someone's grass, give someone a sacrificial gift. It's easy to do zero worship. It's easy to keep the nursery, serving parents, and loving and caring for our younger brothers and sisters. But if we're doing it simply to fill a hole, to do our part, it may look like worship. But Jesus is after your heart, not just your actions. Christian, Jesus has won your heart, not just your actions. He wins the heart, actions follow. So we see what worship is, what is zero worship, and then now, what does the Father want? What is the right way? John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. Jesus is dealing with and loving on and caring for the woman at the well. And he says these wonderful, true words to her. He says, the hour's coming and it's now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father. How? In spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So one brilliant thing that Jesus is letting us in on right here is that the Father, God, is seeking worshipers. He wants true worshipers. He is seeking out such people. He's coming after us for our worship. All true worshipers must worship God, it says here, in spirit and in truth. That is, true worship takes place on the inside. Our spirit, the core of who we are, in the heart or spirit of the worshiper, truth comes in. And in a combination, truth ignites the spirit and we worship God. Earlier, Jesus says, so what Jesus is getting at here with truth, earlier Jesus had mentioned when talking about truth, how to define it. Jesus says, I'm the truth. I'm the life. Nobody gets to the Father but by me. Now he's coming and saying, the Father wants worshipers. He's going after them. How do you get into that? You worship through spirit and in truth. Jesus is saying, it's me. The truth, the access to the Father, full of grace and truth, the revealed revelation of God is Jesus, the truth. No man comes to the Father but by him. This is real. This is something we can hang our hat on. He is the one that is full of grace and truth. And now, this truth, Jesus, is inviting us into true worship of the Father. And Jesus can say this because as the truth, he opened the door for us to come into the presence of God. See, Jesus could not say this. He would have not been able to say this without his entering into humanity. Jesus coming to us is proving to us that the Father is making a way for us to worship him the way we were created. Jesus is the door that we get to walk through into the presence of God. Jesus, as our truth, he changes our standing with the Father. Instead of our sins preventing us from access to God, from being able to worship God rightly, Jesus gives us access to the Father through his blood. So when we, church, when we have misplaced our worship, when we've put things higher than God, when we've adored things and treasured things, people, money, houses, value, when we put these things above God, all of our sins, all of our religious actions, all of our fake zero worship, Jesus bore on himself, suffered and died in our place, and then rose in victory over all of our fake worship. Jesus worshiped God on the cross. He yielded his spirit, the life, the truth, bled and died in our place. And now he calls us to become true worshipers. How? Because he made a way. He made a way. The truth of God detonates the worship inside of us at our core, our spirit, and then we worship inside and out. The inner essence of worship is the response of the heart to the knowledge of the mind when the mind is rightly understanding God and the heart is rightly valuing God. This is why we say, church, constantly, we need more truth. You need more gospel. We need more truth because as truth comes in, worship comes out. Okay? The reason my grandfather was a godly man was because he lived in the Word. He spoke the Word. He lived in prayer. He lived within his community of faith. He loved and served. He was surrounded by truth. He was spitting out truth. That is why he was a worshiper, a true worshiper. So, church, I encourage us, sent communities, families, fathers, mothers, friends, get more truth. Get more truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You have access to the Father through him. Pleasing worship depends on a right mental grasp of the way God really is. You cannot worship without truth. You can't worship without the Spirit. All of these inner responses to God reflect his infinite worth and beauty. And that is what worship was designed to do. Put the supreme worth of God on display. Finally, here's some examples. Hebrews chapter 13 will kick us off. Hebrews chapter 13, this shows us very clearly. Jesus says this is exactly what it looks like. 13 verses 15 through 16 say this. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of the lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good to and share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. I'm going to read that again. What does it look like to worship God? Give me some examples. Here it is. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is these two things. The fruit of the lips that acknowledge his name, and do not neglect to do good and to share what you have. For these two, such sacrifices are pleasing to God. We got two words here, continual and sacrifice. Worship is to be continual. God has a bigger vision for worship for us than singing on Sundays. It's a life, it's a continual worship. And a continual truth and spirit acknowledging what God has done and who he is. And it's a sacrifice. Sacrifice means it demands a discipline. This is not easy. This is not natural. It is a giving up. It's a, as Pastor Josh mentioned, it is a whole life thing. Worship is a sacrifice. A sacrifice of fruit from the lips, fruit of the word, and fruit of our actions. First, fruit of the word. It's a verbal praise of God. It is singing. It is singing. It's much more. This is what the Psalms are filled with. This is the kind of worship that the Psalms are filled with. This is a call, church, to let the words come out of our mouths. A verbal act of praise. This is not a mental act of praise and worship. This is a verbal. You remember when your mama used to say, I can't hear your head shake, or I can't hear your head roar, because she wanted you to say yes, ma'am, but you didn't say yes, ma'am, you just shook your head, I can't hear you, you know, all that. The Lord wants from us, coming out of our mouths, verbal praise to him. So our friends should hear us praising God. So, church, you know this. I love the Cubs. I love the Chicago Cubs. I love my family. I love investments. I love cryptocurrency. I love a lot of things. And a lot of things sometimes hinder, cloud the treasure that is Christ to me. Instead of glorifying God and worshiping Him through those avenues, a lot of times those avenues become the thing that I worship. But how do we know? How do we know? How do you know this? Because if you followed me around for a day, you're probably going to hear about some of those things. But church, if we followed you around for a day, are we hearing from your mouth vocally the praise from your lips continually offering up a sacrifice of praise to Him? This is why we encourage, church, the reading of Scripture out loud within your homes, for yourself, for your family. The reading of Scripture does this. It brings in truth. It is worship. Praise the Lord. Do like my pawpaw did. When you see something, look up. Let everyone hear it. Praise the Lord for this. Praise the Lord. Speak this. God did this. When you see something that God has done, say it. Kids, buddy, God did this. Isn't He amazing? God is good. God is here. He is our helper in time of need. God can get us through this. Truth brings worship. And I would encourage us here as we sing on Sundays, worship Him. He wants it to come out of our mouths. Worship Him. Give it all you got. This is one of the greatest ways we get to make disciples among our family. Our kids, our friends get to hear us praise the Lord through good songs and good lyrics to songs that adore Him. Sing out. Smile. Weep. Sit in silence, raise your hand, bow down, just do something. Respond in praise to Him with your mouth. This is, church, this is our future. So, Christian, this is practice. We get to practice for heaven every Sunday. Our future is sitting before the Lord, working, playing, eating, worshiping God, singing out loud with the elders and the angels. This is our future. It can also be our present. He also says, not only the fruit of our words, but the fruit of our actions. The fruit of our actions. Listen to what He says. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, because that... such sacrifices are pleasing to God. He's connecting the sacrifice at the beginning, which is worship. This is also translated worship. It is worshiping the Lord. The Lord loves it. He is pleased when we do good and share what we have. So just as we look at our little children and say, I would love it if you shared. Would you just share? Please share. I'd be so happy if you just shared. The Lord is pleased when we share. He gives us things so that we can worship Him through the sharing of those things. We have houses and automobiles. We have money. We have wisdom to share. When we do these things, church, the Lord looks down and is pleased. He receives that as honorable worship to Him. Sacrifice. Do good things to people. Let His love for it motivate you. God is pleased when you do this. He looks and says, I'm proud of you. My two oldest sons just got jobs, and they work hard. And they're diligent at this, and they're learning. They're focused. They serve. All of us work these jobs. Most of us work jobs where we're serving other people. That is an act of worship that God is pleased with. I look at my sons and say, yes, my goodness, I'm proud of you. I am so proud that you're doing this, that this is how you're acting, this is how you're living. I swell up with pride, a good pride, that my sons are doing this. The Father, our Father, loves to receive worship from us as we lay our lives down over and over and over to glorify Him and to serve the people around us. God loves it when we share. Finally, I'm going to read. I'm going to read some other ways that I believe the Lord has positioned us and allows us to worship Him. There might be a few you can hang on to. Okay? Here they are. I'll give you what I got. What does it look like to worship the Lord? How can we worship the Lord? We can worship the Lord by digging in with your church family, by being present and all in. We can worship the Lord by singing the truth to each other. We can worship the Lord by sitting down with a hot cup of coffee on a cold morning and reflect of the majesty of God's gifts. We can glorify the Lord by letting our taste buds enjoy what God has blessed us with. We can worship the Lord by going on a walk with Him, praising Him for His character, and this character that is on display as we look at the clouds and the trees and we breathe in His oxygen. That is worship. We worship the Lord in the gym while we work hard. We work out, praising the Lord for who He is and what He's done and making us in His image, for freeing us. We worship the Lord every time we get up and go into our prayer closet. We worship the Lord when we bow down and we set aside time to be with Him, to hear from Him, and to speak with Him. We worship the Lord when we spend time with our friends and we reflect on His great friendship with us. We worship the Lord when we share meals together and come with thanksgiving in our hearts. We worship the Lord when we eat a great meal and enjoy it to His glory. We worship the Lord by doing laundry. We do laundry as unto the Lord. This morning, I had the privilege to do laundry for my family. I got to partake in the serving of my family by doing laundry at 6 a.m. This is not to be a bland act that I have to do, but this is a calling for a holy moment to worship the Lord for my family. It is joining God in cleaning up what was dirty, reflecting on His continual washing of my life. We worship God by singing praise as we cut our grass and as we drive to work. We praise God for our life and health as we brush our teeth. We wash dishes to the glory of God. We praise Him. His name is on our lips. We worship God by meditating on the service of Jesus when it's our week to do set up and tear down. We pray for the people that we get to serve. We praise God for the family that are going to fill the seats. We worship God as we stack chairs. We worship God as we sweat pulling up the signs. God is glorified and He loves our worship as it comes from our heart and moves out into our actions. Worship looks like showing up to your sent community in a posture of worship and readiness for sacrifice. Worship looks like getting into your garden, getting your hands and feet dirty in the presence of the Lord, praising Him for His brilliant wisdom, the wisdom of photosynthesis and pollination. That's what I did yesterday. Worshiping God looks like sending a text message to your friends, praising the Lord for what He is doing in your life. Worship God looks like changing a diaper in the nursery, for one of your little brothers and sisters in the family with a smile on your face, knowing it pleases the Lord and it blesses your brother. It looks like singing loud. Head back. My dad used to say to his church, head back, ripping and rearing, off key, doesn't matter. He wants your worship. Serving the Lord, finally, glorifying Him, worshiping looks like coming here ready to engage with God. The inner essence of worship is to know God truly, then respond from the heart to that knowledge by valuing God, treasuring God, prizing God, enjoying God, being satisfied with God above all earthly things. And then that deep, restful, joyful satisfaction in God overflows in demonstrable acts of praise from the lips and demonstrable acts of love and serving others for the sake of Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the clarity. Thank you for giving Jesus the words to say that we needed to hear. God, I pray that you would take this and align us, mature us, grow us in places where you have not received worship. That you would use this to expose within us the areas that are void, the areas where there's zero worship, and that you would awaken us to your beauty, awaken us to who you are and what you've done. God, that you would shine brighter, that you would display your glory to us in a way that it cannot be ignored, and that we would respond accordingly from our hearts. God, detonate our hearts with truth. Make this church, make Scent Church, a true worshiper. Make us as one body, a unified bunch, where the world, our neighbors, our friends look at us and they see us bowing down to you and you alone. God, give us that. We want that for your glory. We want that for our lives to be in line with your desires for us. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. All right, church, we're going to respond to this word. We respond similar ways every week. First is, don't rush. Don't rush. Listen to God. Hear from Him. Prayerfully repent of places where there's been a distance, where God has exposed places. Repent of your sin, of falling short, and trust in His work that brings forgiveness from sins. If you're here today, this is a new thought, a new concept. I would invite you, I would encourage you. The Lord is the only greatest treasure. He has shown this and proven this by rescuing the world, rescuing you, by sending His only Son to pay for all penalty and crime that we have committed against Him. And He is ready and willing to accept you as a true worshiper. You can worship the Lord the way you were created to, because the truth became flesh. And He has shown us, He accomplished for us access to the Father. So today you can let go of your past, let go of your sin, let go of your shame. Give it to Christ, and He will replace that with His full righteousness. If you're here and you're a Christ follower, what I just said, believe it and worship Him. We worship Him in spirit and in truth. He is yours and you are His. He loves you. He delights in you through the work of his true son, Jesus. So we will sing. Some of you, you've never worshiped God through singing. I invite you, worship God through singing. We will stand and sing. You can go ahead and stand. If you have children in the back or in the other building, go receive your children. Come back in and worship. If you're a Christ follower, I invite you to remember the work that Christ has done through the shedding of his blood and the breaking of his body in communion on your, I almost said pew. This is not a pew. In your row, there's communion cups to take a moment to reflect and respond to what God has done on your behalf. Let's take a minute, pray, and then we will begin worshiping the Lord through singing.
These pieces broken and scattered, in mercy gathered, mended and whole. Empty-handed, but not forsaken, I've been set free, I've been set free. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Ooh, oh, I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. Oh, I can see you now. See the love in your eyes, laying yourself down, raising up the broken to
these pieces,
all these pieces broken and scattered, in mercy gathered, mended and whole. Empty-handed, but not forsaken, I've been set free, I've been set free. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Ooh, oh, I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. Oh, I can see. I can see the love in your eyes, laying yourself down. take our failure, you take our weakness. You set your treasure in jars of clay. So take this heart, Lord, I'll be your vessel, the world to see your life in me. Oh, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Ooh, so good to me. You've been so, so good to me. You've been so, so good to me. Oh, to think where I would be if not for you, if not for you. Sing that again. You've been so, so good to me. You've been so, so good to me. Oh, to think where I would be if not for you, if not for you. 'Cause I can see you now. Can see the love in your eyes, laying yourself down, raising up the broken to life. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Saved a wretch like me. Ooh, oh, I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. Oh, I can see you now. Oh, I can see the love. Of time, raising up the broken to life.
You can be seated. So we have two, three announcements. We have five. So be ready. Okay? First is this. If you're joining us for the first time, we are thrilled that you would spend an hour and a half with us. If you have any questions about our church, what we do here, anything. We would love to answer all of your questions. Any question you have, you can do that through asking me outside or whoever brought you here. I'm sure they can communicate those things. And also, on our website, on the front page, is a digital card that you can fill out and ask any question that you would like. And if you're here for the first time, we have a small gift at the cart, the welcome cart. So as you leave, make sure to go by there and receive that small gift. In other announcements, we have VBS coming. We're doing VBS this year in partnership. King's Church is letting us use their building. They don't have any children, or they only have a few very, very small children. But they are letting us use their building for these days, and they're helping us host as well. So we are going to do VBS up big this year. Praise God. God is letting us do this. There's a neighborhood right around where their building is, and that we're going to canvas that neighborhood to invite as many people. So I would encourage you, yes, you, of course, we can sign up our kids for VBS, but also if you know of a family that this would be a benefit to, that has children, that they would want to come and be a part of this, that would be a way that we could love on them and get the gospel to their children, please invite them. So if you have some neighbors or friends that you're trying to disciple, this is one way where the church can partner with you in discipling your people. So VBS, sign up for that. We're asking everyone sign up by July the 19th, but there's no good reason why you shouldn't sign up today, right? It's on the front, it's on our website. So go on the website, you can click there. The second announcement is this. Coming up, we have Sent 101. It's going to be August the 1st. Sent 101 is for all of you who want to know more information about our church and possibly be considering becoming a part of this church, moving into covenant membership. It's a day we set aside a few hours. The elders talk through what we're about, what we believe, all of those things. And so if you're interested in Sent 101, we'll have a place for you to sign up, and you'll be hearing more about the details on that a little bit later. But mark your calendar for August the 1st. The next is this, men's breakfast. Okay, men's breakfast. This man right here is one of my heroes. It's my father. He is coming, and all of you men who were able to come to the last men's breakfast, we had a good time. It was encouraging. It was fun. It did what it's supposed to do. So this next time, my dad's coming to bring an encouraging word to us. Pastor David is going to cook us breakfast. So be ready for that. He's really excited. So let's make a big. Is this being recorded? He's really excited, so please, let's make a big deal out of that. But men, this is, as we said before, this is not just good for us. We want this time to be good for the men that we're trying to disciple as well. So if you're discipling some men in your neighborhood or some coworkers or some friends, that they need to be included to some other male friendships, we would encourage you, bring those as an act of discipleship, okay? So include them if you like. We will eventually maybe get a roundabout number to see, make sure our food's right and all that stuff. The last is this. No, not the last one. Summer Save the Dates. So some of us love the Save the Dates, okay? If that's you, get your pencil, get whatever you need. People still use pencils, right? And save these dates. We got this coming up in July and August and September. These are dates that you won't want to miss. Our prayer and worship night is coming up in August. We also have a men's prayer breakfast in September. On the 12th, we are having a big celebration to celebrate our anniversary. And then, as you see, on the 13th, Women's Bible Study will start back. Finally, If you want to stay connected to the church, we have an app. And it is the way we will be communicating to each other. So if you do not have the app yet, we'll leave this on the screen and you can come and snap it and get it and do all those things. Okay? Stand. Thank you. You did well. Y'all did well. You lasted. The kids did good. Usually it's chaos during announcements. Okay? I'm going to pray us out of here. Father, just as you sent Christ, you are sending us. We receive that blessing. We receive that sending. God, may our worship be not only glorifying to you, but also on display for the world to see. God, do what only you can do. Mature us. We love you. We love being loved by you. Send us out, God, to worship you and enjoy you. In Christ's name, amen. Have a good week. Worship you.